Welcome to the radio ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship. The Seed is a Christ-centered, God-glorifying, Spirit-filled fellowship of believers eager to share God's love with you. No matter where you've been or where you're at, you are welcome. The Seed is a place to belong and grow in God's grace and love. Our prayer is that you will experience God's grace at the Seed and that you will come to know God's love. Grow in Christ's grace, go in the Holy Spirit's power, sow seeds of faith in our world. Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith.
Welcome to this week's Seed of Faith, brought to you by the Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave. We are so blessed that each week you take the time to listen to these messages. It's my prayer. I know I don't know you, I can't see you because we're on the radio, but my prayer is that you'll come to know the love of God. And that your life will be transformed by that love of God, but you'll grow in the grace, the outrageous grace, the amazing grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that you'll go out into your world, your family, your work, your schools, your grocery store. Just go and sow seeds of faith. Yeah, by the power of the Holy Spirit that's within you. We'd love to have you join us on Sunday mornings. We worship at 9284 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga at 9 a.m. every Sunday. I know many of you can't come to Rancho Cucamonga. It sounds like a great place. It is a great place. But you can always join us on our live stream. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the live stream. You can chat. You can offer up prayers. You can read the scriptures. You can watch the music and worship. You can hear the children's message and listen to the weekly sermons. We're in week three of this series on hope. Can you imagine back in the days when Jesus and all the Jewish people made the pilgrimage back to Jerusalem for the Passover festival? We are told in the book of Acts, people from all around the known world would make their way to Jerusalem for their pilgrimage. These people would walk, take ships, and then walk. They rode camels or donkeys, and then they walked, all to return back home to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. The distance between Nazareth and Jerusalem, well, it was around 70 miles. It would have taken Jesus between 5 to 7 days to walk that distance. The Jewish people were not allowed to travel more than 2,000 cubits or 3/5 of a mile on the Sabbath. This means it would take Jesus over a week to walk to Jerusalem. I read in my study that Jesus made at least 9 trips back and forth from the Sea of Galilee to Jerusalem during his lifetime, roughly 1,440 miles. Well, pause and ponder that a minute. Walking 1,440 miles. Think of walking through the desert up and down mountain trails. Think of the rough terrain and the obstacles. I wonder how many times Jesus stubbed his toe on the rocks or how many times he had rocks stuck in his sandals. How often did he slip and fall? I wonder if he ever thought that all of the walking was worth the trip. Did Jesus look forward to the hope of coming home to the Temple of Jerusalem? Well, we have only been journeying on the road to Jerusalem for 2 or 3 weeks in this series on hope. We're also looking for hope. This week, we'll take a brief look into Paul's letter to the Romans. Romans was written around 57 AD while Paul was in Corinth, preparing to go to Jerusalem. Paul wanted to introduce himself to the Christians in Rome. Paul wanted to encourage them to wait in hope. Let us turn to one of my most favorite chapter in the Bible. It's Romans chapter 8. I think it's probably one of the best chapters. That's just my personal opinion. Here, Paul wants to give the early church in Rome the assurance of the love, grace, and hope that's found in Jesus Christ. Romans 8 begins with the assurance of no condemnation. I'll read it at the beginning. He says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And Paul continues to write to the hope of no separation. Listen to the ending of chapter 8. He says, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Before we come to God's living word, let us come to our living God and seek his saving hope. Let us pray. Lord God of all hope, give us the hope to travel the road you have called us to walk. Let your living word bring us to a saving hope.
Amen.
You have your Bibles? We're going to be in Romans 8. We're going to pick up on verse 18 through 27. Paul writes it this way, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoptions as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen, well, is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. Well, last week we looked at a living hope and finding a living hope. We worked in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, and we have been born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We talked about Billy Graham's funeral and his burial, the memorial service that was televised. You can play watch part of it on YouTube. I took the time when it happened to watch the entire service, and it lasted over 90 minutes. Many of the reporters said that this was actually Billy Graham's last revival. Well, I would agree. They had several different pastors and musicians speak and sing. The most moving part of the service was the personal sharing of Billy's family. There were 5 children in Billy's family, 3 daughters and 2 sons, D.G., Ann, Ruth, Ned, and Franklin. D.G. read a poem her mother had written at age 13 about the man she would marry, her daddy, Billy. Ann Graham Lotz then gave a powerful message of hope, comparing her father to Moses. She spoke of the promise of the coming of Jesus. Ned spoke and declared his father was fat, F-A-T, faithful, available, and teachable. What a great description of his dad. Franklin then challenged everyone listening that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. Franklin concluded his gospel message with an invitation to ask Jesus into our hearts. We all know Franklin well. He's the founder of Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child, the shoeboxes that many people do during the holidays. But I must tell you that it was Billy Graham's 3rd daughter, Ruth, who spoke volumes of hope in her quiet way. Ruth shared that she went through a divorce early in her life, a painful time when she wandered in the wilderness for years, making many wrong choices. Then she met another man, and a man felt would be complete for her. Her sister and her father and mother had deep concerns, but despite their warning, she left and married the man on New Year's Eve. Ruth said that she knew she had made a mistake within 24 hours. After 5 weeks, she fled and knew that she had to return home. As she drove up the mountain, all she could think of was how she was embarrassed and how embarrassed she was to her family. This is what she said. We never want to embarrass our family, but we certainly never want to embarrass Billy Graham. Can you imagine the pressure and the burden of growing up in the shadow of Reverend Dr. Billy Graham, the world's pastor, as your father? Ruth Graham drove around and around the mountain. She drove down the lane and got to the front door of the family home. Her daddy was standing there waiting for her. As she got out of her car, her daddy threw his arms around her and he said, "Welcome home." Welcome home. What powerful words, reassuring words, what wonderful words that say that there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. What joyous words that say that nothing can separate us from the love of God that's found in Christ Jesus. Ruth, Billy's daughter, said, this is a quote from her, "Now my daddy is not God, but on that day he showed me what God was like." When Paul wrote this letter to the church in Rome, he wanted them to wait and hope. Paul wanted to encourage them that they were saved and hope. In this section in Romans chapter 8, 18 through 27, we find a hope that helps us in our groaning. In verses 22, 23, and 26, we find a word that is repeated three times, and yet it is found nowhere else in this letter. In fact, it is found only six more times in the entire New Testament. It is the Greek word stenazo, and it translates, we try and translate it with groan or groans or groaning. The interesting thing is that this word is applied to three different entities. To creation, creation is joining, groaning. To ourselves, we are groaning, and the Holy Spirit groans. This groaning is like the groaning of childbirth. Now, I never gave birth and never had to suffer through the pain, but I stood by my wife's side at the birth of our three children. There is a tremendous pain and groaning, but oh, the joy and relief when the birth finally comes. This is exactly what Paul is trying to compare what our hope should be like. Pains of childbirth are real pains, severe pains, but they are not endless. They last only for a time. Nor are the pains hopeless. On the contrary, they are filled with joyful expectation. Paul is writing that our grief as Christians should be like that. We groan, but we do so in expectation, well, of a safe delivery. You've been listening to The Seed of Faith, brought to you by The Seed Christian Fellowship. This is Pastor Dave, and our prayer team would love to pray for you. We're hearing and seeing and experiencing some wonderful answers to prayer. You can go to our website at www.theseedchristianfellowship.com. Click on the prayer icon, write your prayers. If you have a question, you can always email me, PastorDave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. There's a man by the name of Ray Stedman. He's a pastor and he's a commentator. And he wrote this, he said, "Our lives consist of groans. We groan because of the ravages that sin makes in our lives and in the lives of those we love. Also, we groan because we see possibilities that are not being captured or employed. And then we groan because we see gifted people who are wasting their lives and we would love to see something else happening." It is recorded that as he drew near the tomb of Lazarus, Jesus groaned in his spirit because he was so burdened by the ravages that sin had made in a believing family. He groaned even though he knew he would soon raise Lazarus from the dead. So we groan in our spirits. We groan in disappointment. We groan in bereavement. We groan in sorrow. We groan physically in our pain. We groan in our limitations. Life consists of a great deal of groaning. Wow. Paul does in this writing in Romans is to reassure the early church that we are saved in this hope. Listen again to verses 24 and 25. This is what Paul says. "For in this hope we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently." I don't know if you have your Bible open and if you underlined the word hopes, but look at all the hopes that were used. The first hope is in verse 24. It's a past tense. what Paul is writing to us is that our salvation is a done deal. What God has done through Jesus Christ on the cross and his death and resurrection is a done deal. Our hope for our salvation is complete. We have been saved once and for all on the cross. Our hope of being saved is final and complete. Jesus did that, past tense. It is finished. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18, it says, "For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal." In one of my commentaries, J.B. Phillips stated it this way. He put it this way, quote, "The whole creation is on its tiptoe to see the wonderful sight of the sons and daughters of God coming into their own. The whole earth is groaning. We are groaning for the restoration of our bodies and our lives. Hope that is seen is no hope at all. You know what hope is? Hope is standing on our tiptoes, looking to the future, waiting patiently for what we do not yet have." So what? Let's kind of wrap this up and start to bring it home. So what? So if all the creation is standing on its tiptoes to see us coming into our own, what is that to you? Or, you know, what is that that you are standing on your tiptoes to see? What are you standing on your tiptoes to see? Ruth Graham, the daughter of Billy Graham, didn't know what to expect when she drove up the side of the mountain. She knew that with two divorces, she had disappointed her mom and dad. What would they say when they saw her? Would they cry? Would they be angry? Her dad met her at the front door. Did she ever expect her father to throw his arms around her and say, "Welcome home"? That's my prayer. I want to hear when I get to heaven, "Welcome home. Welcome home, good and faithful servant. Now there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus." That's what Paul begins chapter 8 with. "I've been standing on my tiptoes looking heavenward since 2012 when I came down with this mysterious rash I had. That was put me in the hospital and sent me to, I think it was 14 different doctors, doctor after doctor after doctor. I've been standing on my tiptoes looking for just what the doctor would say." He goes, I had one doctor say, "I don't know what's wrong with you. You're intriguing." Wow. I had a rash that would flare up and my strength would be depleted. I had grown weary of standing on my tiptoes, but I'm still hoping and patiently waiting for what I do not have. It is my prayer that as we think about hope during these times, that we'll think about the hope, hang on, pray expectantly, hold on, pray every day, heaven's one promise, Emmanuel. Paul writes in there in Romans 8, he says, "For in this hope we are saved." I don't know where you're at in your relationship with Christ. I don't know if you're just listening for the first time. I don't know if you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe today is the day that you do that. It's simple, but it's not easy. It's asking Jesus to come into your heart and accept him as your Lord and Savior. That's easy, but then letting him be your Lord and Savior and living your life for him. Maybe there's someone here right now that needs to ask Jesus to come into their heart. Pray with me the prayer. Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sins. I ask that you would come into my heart. I accept you as my Lord and Savior. Be my Lord over all the things that I do, all the things that I say, and forgive me of all my sins in Jesus' name. If you said that prayer, you can always email me at pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. I'll send you a Bible, and you can start reading the Word yourself. He says, we know that creation is groaning, and we are saved. We have this hope that we're saved in, but hope that is not seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? I don't know what you're hoping for. I don't know where you're at. Each week when I do these programs, I imagine There's a crowd of witnesses out there, some that have a really deep hope, and there's others that are struggling even to get up and get on their tiptoes. My prayer is that we'll reach out to those that need a touch of your hope. We can be the body of Christ to each other. And listen, if you're struggling, you can reach out and find a church. If you don't have a church, I'll help you find a church. For in this hope we are saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what it already has? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Remember last week, if you listened to last week's program, hope is looking in one direction, expecting to see the red cord of Christ's life, death, and resurrection so that we can have life and life eternally. I want to pray for you today. I want to take a moment and pray, and then pray that you'll have hope. We've been doing this series on hope. We've been looking at a living hope. We've looked at a foundation of hope. We've looked at a saving hope. Where next week, we're going to look at hope in a different light. My prayer as we journey through this time, you'll find hope. You'll find hope. I want you to know that you're not alone, that you'll never be alone. I want you to know that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. I want you to know that Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. His promise is that he will be with you, even when you're in the valley of trouble, like we talked about last week. He'll bring us to the door of hope. That's my prayer as we work through these. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, you know each person listening today. You know where they're at. You know where they've been, but more importantly, you know where you're bringing them. I pray that they would have a vision, a clear vision. I pray that you'd speak to them in dreams and visions. I pray, Lord, that you would manifest your presence to them in a powerful and real way. I pray that you'll just shine your light into their darkness and give them hope, a hope that will never disappoint them. And I pray that they'll be able to stand on their tiptoes looking expectantly for your grace, knowing that your grace is sufficient, for your power is made perfect in their weakness. I pray that the person that needs to know about hope today will receive hope in a real and present way. In Jesus' name we pray. I want you to know each week I have an opportunity to speak on the radio, but My greatest joy is to see your life transformed by the love of God that's found in Christ Jesus. Our mission statement here at The Seed is to come to know, to really know, to know the love of God, to grow in the grace of Jesus Christ, and to go in the power of the Holy Spirit, sowing seeds of faith. My prayer is that each week, these little seeds of faith, there might be a nugget of seed that will start to flourish and you'll see hope. A hope that is seen is no hope at all. My prayer today is that you're going to get on your tiptoes and start looking expectantly into the future. Know that God loves you, and so do I. Receive a blessing today. Now unto him who is able to do far more than you could ask or imagine, to Christ to be the glory in your life from generation to generation, in Jesus' name. God bless you, and I'll see you next week. God bless.
You've been listening to this week's Seed of Faith. Our prayer is that you have come to know how much God loves you. If you would like to know more about the ministry of the Seed Christian Fellowship, contact Pastor Dave at his email address, pastordave@theseedchristianfellowship.com. Or you can send a message through the church website, theseedchristianfellowship.com. You are invited to come to church Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at the Rancho Cucamonga Community Center at 11200 Baseline Road in Rancho Cucamonga, California, 91730. The Seed is a wonderful fellowship of believers growing in God's love and grace. And when you do come, please make yourself known to Pastor Dave, because he would love to meet you. If you don't have a home church and you would like to find a church in your area, they can send you names of some local churches in your particular area. Well, thanks for joining us this week. And remember, God loves you, and so do we.